Welcome to the Healing Home Podcast. I'm Priya.
And I'm Annie.
We're your hosts, guides, and friends on this beautiful journey. Healing Home is your compassionate space on the joyful and chaotic journey of parenthood. Our conversations are deep dives filled with love, vulnerability, and a heck of a lot of authenticity.
We show up and share so that you can do the same. Because at the end of the day, life can be really hard. But the reality is that we're not here to just exist. We're here to actually live and enjoy our lives. So buckle up and come along for a ride as we work through some of the most incredible things: family dynamics, postpartum, trauma, and much, much more.
Welcome home. Hi, and welcome to our next episode of the Healing Home Podcast. I'm Priya Rednam-Waldo.
I'm Annie Phillips.
And we are thrilled to have a dear friend, as well as like just an incredible professional woman here, Judge Adrienne Young, joining us today. And we're going to just have a really, I think, transparent, vulnerable conversation about motherhood, about career, and all of the things that have been both joys and challenges in navigating. In navigating life.
Yeah, and I want to say Adrienne is here today with her three-year-old daughter, and that is like a perfect example how a professional woman like her gets stuff done. Like, you have to adjust, you have to modify, and so we're going to really talk to Adrienne today about how she got to where she is now in her career while juggling three little kids. So if Adrienne, do you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your career path and...
Yeah, absolutely. And first, thanks, Priya and Annie, for having me. And then also thanks to the staff here for having my three-year-old in the green room watching TV on a laptop. So that's just what we're doing this morning. So first, on the parenthood side of things, like Priya and Annie mentioned, I have three kids. Ruthie, who's here off screen with us today, is three, going on four. And then I have Thaddeus, who just turned six, and Jacob, who's about to be eight. And this is 100% parenthood and career. I would not be possible without my life partner, Jeff. And so you'll hear that throughout the next 30 minutes. He's just going to be a big part of my story and a big part of my, like, how this is all possible. So that's the family dynamic. And then, like Priya and Annie said, I recently became a judge. And before that, I was a public defender for a long time. So a lawyer is the easiest, like, breakdown.
Yeah. I have the benefit of being also married to a public defender and having known Adrienne for some time. And I would love for you to share a little bit about your professional passions, like why you do what you do, and your recent shift to becoming a judge, like how that came to be. And then we can dive in a bit of, like, okay, you're doing all of these things, and then you started a journey of parenthood.
Yeah, so the why, I think, goes all the way back to my own childhood. So my parents are rock stars. My dad sold solar panels for a living. So it's just somebody who, like, was early in alternative energy and, like, did something to bring money to his family, but did good for the world. And when he was in between jobs, he was a substitute teacher and beloved in the community in that role. And mom just recently retired as a clinical psychologist for people with brain injuries. So I had these two amazing role models who are giving, I'm one of three girls, are giving us this great life, this joyful life, and this adventurous life, but also doing so much good in the world. And so that was sort of the North Star for me, is like, how do I live a joyful existence and do good in the world? And for me, what that looked like at first was teaching, very similar to Priya's husband, who taught before he went to law school. And then from teaching to public defense, and as an attorney and as a just person out mm-hmm. in the world, I think everybody is aware of how important judges are and how much power they have. And so I thought, what a beautiful thing to have somebody in that seat, in that position, who has that teaching and public defense background. And I hadn't seen it, and I was feeling courageous enough to have to step up and be it. So it worked out, and the governor appointed me a couple months ago to the seat that I'm in now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And everything that you just expressed in my head, I'm like, wow, that took a lot of work to get to where you are. And so I want to ask you, just because our podcast is particularly focused on professional women and how we balance motherhood and our postpartum journeys, how did you do it all? How did you get to the position of being appointed judge by the governor while at the same time having three children?
Yeah, so that's a ton of different answers to that question. And one of them is something that you all talk about on your podcast, which is like having it all but not having it all at once. And that for me is a lesson that I'm constantly learning over and over again, and that I'm still having growing pains with. So for example, like with my new job, I'm commuting to Detroit every day, and Jeff is remote. And the way that the labor divides in our house is that he's going to drop our boys off at elementary school, and I'm taking Ruthie to the daycare by my work. Okay. And what that amounts to is just less time with my boys. And tons of time like chatting and car concerts and cool and, you know, a quick run through the Tim Hortons drive-thru with Ruthie. Yeah. But not those little moments, pockets of intimacy and fun with my boys. That's all consolidated to our time at home. So that's like a growing pain that I'm having with the new job. And that's sort of indicative of like what this whole process was. I was running a full-fledged campaign for an open seat before I got appointed to this one. And there was a lot of that push and pull where I'd go to an event and meet some folks, and it would be so fulfilling and exciting to the part of me that thrives on knowing people, being in the community, being a responsive leader so that people know who are lawyers in the community and who want to be judges in the community. But then I'm not putting my kids to bed. You know, so it was just a constant push and pull, and realizing like sometimes in a moment where I'm like, oh, I'm running on empty right now because I haven't had those touch points with my family. And so, you know, sometimes you'd realize that an hour into an event and be like, okay, I got to go. And then I'm also going to cancel tomorrow's event because it's just clearly hit me that like I'm on empty and need my cup filled with my family. And so I'm constantly learning that.
Did you have a defining moment in your career where you were like, wow, I need to set better boundaries? Like you just said, like, yeah. I'm going to cancel tomorrow's event, where you were like, I need to prioritize myself over my career in this moment. Because I think a lot of professional women struggle with that. And I know Priya and I have talked about that. Like evaluating, is this event worth going to? Is this meeting worth booking? And taking a step back and looking at our schedules out for the month and seeing, like, you know, are we overscheduling ourselves? So do you have any advice or tips for other professional women where you know, are like, I just need to do this and this is how I did it?
So I think I have those defining moments, like, on a steady clip of, like, every 6 months. I kind of like fall flat on my face and look back up and realize that was too much. And so, for example, before I was appointed, and I was a public defender, so I'd go to work, I'd come home and be like, oh my gosh, I have 30 minutes before an event and the event's close to home. So let me just go home for that 30 minutes and hang out, instead of getting to the event early. But I'm hanging out, I don't know if you can see my quotation, with kids, right. You know, with Jeff, who's just ending his work day, and with a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old, who have varying demands and aren't going to be like, oh, yes, let's sit all together for 30 minutes, Mom, and catch up on our day and then send you on your way. Like, these are kids. And so there was this one particular harried moment where I came home and wanted to have that, oh, quick fill up with family time. Mm-hmm. And it was so chaotic. And I left the kids at the dining room table. One of them was crying. Jeff's like, this has been wonderful. Thanks so much.
Really appreciate your visit.
Yeah,
yes.
This has been great. Have a good one. And so will I. And so I think it was that moment where I was like, okay, yeah. I'm trying to fit my children and family into these pockets of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, because I'm not willing to create larger pockets of time to fit them. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oop, we got to switch this because you're kids and I'm the adult here. And yeah. So I have moments like that, that kind of like, you know, are a really tough lesson to learn. Like that event that I went to, mm-hmm. I didn't go in my feeling my best. Mm-hmm. And so then the next time is when I kind of do better with boundaries. And sometimes I still slip up and then do better again.
Yeah, I guess what I'm really hearing is a lot of like self-reflection, yeah, totally. Right? Because we all fall flat on our face, mm-hmm. and that can wake us up to like, oh, something is not working about the way that I'm doing things. And I mean, I often talk about like who gets the best of us, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it is going to be our work. Sometimes it's our family. Ideally, we give a portion of the best of us to both, but rarely is life that simple. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. In the, I guess, the theme of self-reflection, when you go back to, like, really early parenthood, like, just starting out on that journey, were there things that surprised you in terms of what would be most challenging or things that there was a picture we all kind of have of what mm-hmm. it will be like and what aligned with that picture or what really didn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm smiling right now, kind of, like, stifling laughter because I think about Adrienne when Jacob was an infant and yeah. just like you saying there was a picture and I'm like, yes, there's like the most detailed picture. I mean, I remember special ordering.
You're really good at details. Yeah.
Like a poof, those uh-huh. things that you like sit on or don't and just they're just in the room.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this accent poof
yeah.
for the baby's room.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like that's the headspace that I was in, yes. like going into Jacob versus
gotta get all the yeah. fancy poofs.
Yes. yeah. Yes. And so so I think I just did not have any clue what every day would look like, mm-hmm. what the challenges would be. For me, breastfeeding was a huge challenge and I felt placed on myself. And sometimes societally there was judgment with that, mm-hmm. and that was hard and unexpected. I mean, I think about Jeff and I in that 3-hour course about birthing a baby, and then they're mm-hmm. like, and off you go to parenthood. And it's like,
good luck.
What? Yeah. We just like pretended to have a baby with a pillow and now I'm done.
Think about how long you went to your undergrad, law school,
yes, and
all
now
of
I'm
the
done?
Training
yeah.
to do a job that isn't a little
Wait,
tiny
can
dog.
I ask you, yes. in the birthing class, you pretended to have a baby with
well,
a
no,
pillow?
Well, no, like the baby is the pillow,
oh,
kind
or,
of, yes.
Oh, sorry, just
wanted to
having
intercourse with pillows. Yes.
Just wanted to clarify
this,
that.
This is a family podcast. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so that's something that comes up in the therapy space a lot is a lot of, you know, career high achieving women, they are completely blindsided that breastfeeding
yeah.
doesn't work for them because
yeah.
you're like, I went to law school, I'm a public defender. Mm-hmm. I
that's
do
it.
Jail visits. I can do hard things,
yes.
but I
mm-hmm.
can't feed my baby. Like, and it really, really catches a lot of women off guard and it affects their mental health too and their worth as a parent.
100%. And the idea of like breastfeeding working mm-hmm. is yes. a whole nother thing.
Yes.
Because
right.
breastfeeding, quote unquote, works for like one of my good friends who has a 6-month-old. Mm-hmm. But like what she has to go through on the day to day is and how she struggles with that when she has to go into the office versus when she can work remote. Mm-hmm. is a whole nother thing. So like what it working, what it does, it's all kind of messy. And that's why I really love what you guys do. That's why. So another thing I do for myself, I have a therapist that I see every week, and it's a therapist from Healing Home, because I wanted somebody who understood the like motherhood messiness of it all. So yeah, that's been transformative too.
Yeah, that messiness, right? Like when we think about the picture too, or the poof, right?
Oh my
right?
God,
like
seriously.
We don't think about
friggin' poof.
We don't think about
we've all
the messiness.
Panic bought a poof.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's all the mess.
Absolutely. And we thought it was gonna change the world,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But yeah, the messiness, right? It can still be beautiful. Like when we have challenges, it can be beautiful. But if we don't acknowledge the messiness, we don't like say, hey, you're not alone in the messiness. And yeah, even when things work, like breastfeeding, it's not easy.
Right.
It is still very complicated, especially if you are working outside of the home. Mm-hmm. And once we're able to like have real talk about it, then we can also offer real solutions. And I think that's, we do each other a disservice when we pretend like it's not messy.
Yep, 100% I agree. Like when... So I feel very honored to have the job that I have and also have three kids. And immediately the response is like, whoa, how on earth? And I am very quick to say, like, because I'm not, like, you'll notice my three children, well, one of them's with me in the green room right now, but, like, at work when people are like, whoa, you have three kids and they're that young. And I'm like, and none of them are here.
Yeah,
because right. my village is such that two are in school and do the early kids club and the late kids club and daycare goes till 6 and sometimes I'm there at 5:57, you know, and so it's just like immediately owning the mess I think is so important for people.
Yeah, and I always like to reframe for people too, like, or other mothers in particular, like all of those people, like that's more people to love your children,
yes.
right? And so if we can embrace that we, that's not a failure, that is
right.
actually just an opportunity to like feel worthy of that support and worthy of having professional dreams, and your kids get more people too to love them. Typically when we think about it like that, the guilt that a lot of parents feel is alleviated at least some.
Totally, and there's two things that are like super important to me about that. And one is that I am not the expert in everything. Like even though these are my children, I do not know as much as Jacob's second grade teacher who's been teaching for 25 years.
Sure.
I do not know as much as Thaddeus's therapist who works exclusively with kids. You know, and so I think there's part of it, too, is like not only is it OK, these people probably know more than you or like can do some things better than you. And and that's totally OK, too. And to like embrace that. And then the other piece that comes with that is not to like make up stories about what other parents are doing, because I think part of our unwillingness to like be OK with expanding our village is we have made up a story that the mom next door is doing everything on her own and her child's thriving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, have you ever talked to the mom next door? Do you know her name? Do you know anything about her life? Or have you totally made this up in your head and made yourself feel worse in the process?
Yeah.
And I think those, so it's like respecting expertise, but then also like not making up narratives. Because I think both of those things can help you like relax a little bit about expanding your village and asking for help when you need it.
Yeah, and it makes me think about how, right, that mom next door, her parenting values may be different.
Totally.
And there's infinite right ways to parent. And so when we create this narrative and, you know, often, right, people say comparison is the thief of joy, it's because it's not actually a real comparison. The way that that mom wants to parent and go through life may be different, and that's okay. We can all do it our own way, and as parents, we can sit down and say, like, what works for us? And having a really robust village, it sounds like that really works for you.
Totally.
Adrian, what would you say is the thing that you enjoy about parenthood the most, or the things, like, that you look forward to, that you enjoy being present in the moment with your children? Because I can tell you,
I don't enjoy everything I'm doing with my children. Yeah. But like, what are the things that you do enjoy?
Yeah, making dinner did not make the top five. And Jeff will be like, that's really interesting because I make dinner most of the time. And that's also true. Kids are so funny. So anytime you can sit down and really talk to them, oh my God, the things that they say, the way they reflect on their day, it's just... You know, to see like a five-year-old be really intent. Oh, well, let me tell you about that. You know, just the unintentional humor of the daily reports from kids are like amazing. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you can cuddle and have those moments of like intimacy, especially as they get older, I think are so, I like absolutely cherish that. Like just the other day, I was basically falling asleep on the couch as the kids are going to bed. So this is like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired. And Jacob, my 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old, comes in and lays next to me. And he's like, I just want to sleep wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's so we just laid together for a while. And it was, you know, it's just great. Like,
so yeah. And that like leads me back to like, I always talk to my clients that are working moms about quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
And like as a working mom, we have to reflect on those quality times, like you just said, your 7-year-old wanting to cuddle and really embracing those quality times. So you keep mentioning your life partner, Jeff, and that you wouldn't have been able to do what you're doing without him.
Yeah.
And so because this is something that comes up with my therapy clients all the time, like equitable mental load and just like physical load too in the household. And so you said like Jeff usually cooks dinner. I have a husband that his role now is he usually cooks dinner too.
Yeah.
And so like when I tell people that they're like, oh, that's not normal. And I'm like, well, he's definitely the better cook.
100%.
So that's family. I was just wondering like how do you feel that you got to this place in your relationship to have a equitable household? Or is there things that you're still working on too? Like just reflecting on that.
So always work in progress, 100%. And then how did we get here? Talking to each other, and both of us talk to therapists. Mm-hmm. And because the initial part of our marriage is still so firmly based in our own like childhood family models. And we're still figuring out what do we want our family model to be. And that continues to change as our kids continue to change. And so just talking to each other. And so with starting this new job, I have been like exhausted. And so we really, the way I described it to my therapist is like, we're two ships passing in the night, but the water's also kind of rocky. So it's like, because there's so much going on, the waves are crashing. And so we're not just like smooth sailing, but not getting a chance to talk. It's just like chaotic. And she was talking about being intentional about carving out small pockets of time. And so we just laid in bed the other day and talked to each other about like, oh, here in these stressful times, here's what I need and here's what I need. And I was like, okay, for me, it's the moments of togetherness. So if you could sit physically next to me when we have our morning cup of coffee, which is just like the small ask in the chaos of all the parenthood. Yeah. Like, I just want you physically next to me when we drink our coffees.
That cup of coffee in the morning is so powerful. Right? And then, it's so meaningful for somebody.
Yeah. I haven't had mine yet.
And then for him, it's more like affirming everything he does because he does so much. And part of us as women, I think this, like, we also do so much. And so we're like, yeah, okay.
That resonates with me.
But
like, we're just expected to. 100%. So why do I need to affirm you? But men do need the affirming, too.
Yeah.
Like, it is, if it's, that's what he values, then we need to listen.
And I think one of the other things we fleshed out is just, like, not imposing our wants on the other person. Like, just because I want Jeff physically next to me doesn't mean that he wants that.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean that that's his top priority. And just because, you know, he can't think that by praising me and saying thank you for this, thank you for that, that that can replace that sitting next to me. Because the affirmation for me, I can do without. I just really want the, physical next to each other. And he really wants the, please acknowledge that I've done so much. And he has. And so I try to do that. And so it's just acknowledging those two things, like what each of us want, and that there's sometimes no overlap between the two, you know? But yeah, it's hopefully a process we'll continue to do for decades and decades, just continue to talk to each other and learn about each other. And yeah.
And I think about what your kids will take away from seeing parents who are actively working on making time and energy to communicate, and it's imperfect, but you're continuing to do it, and that will be something that sticks with them as they grow. In particular, they're little, but still they observe everything.
Totally.
They?
And actually, the talking privately is important, but the talking in front of them is important too, because there will be times where I raise my voice, or or I have a tone that feels like raising my voice. It has the same negative effect. And Jacob will be like, the way you said that wasn't very nice, even though I'm talking to Jeff. And so I'm just like,
call you out.
But you want
that. You're raising very self-aware kids that they know that it's not appropriate to speak to
the reflections
people.
The reflection is internal for them.
And they know it's safe to say that to
them.
Or to anyone, right? It's humbling, and it's a beautiful thing.
So since we're almost at the end of our time, I just wanted to ask, and if Priya, you have any follow-up questions too, what advice would you, as, you know, you're pretty have reached a very high point of your career. You're a judge now. That's amazing.
Incredible.
What advice would you give to moms that are just starting the journey of parenthood and also aspire to have a fulfilling career?
I think, especially if you're brand new to motherhood, if you're listening to this and you have a 3-month-old in your arms, to just and always to give yourself grace and time. It's okay to not know, right? That's perfectly fine too. And one of the best ways to find out more about yourself and live a more fulfilling life is to talk with friends and to talk with other people and to share honestly, like you said at the beginning. Authenticity creates this space where moms feel better about themselves. And so I think just don't try not to be alone in it, and try to learn more about yourself by talking and growing together with your partner if you have one, or with the members of your village.
Yeah, just like our conversation today.
Yeah, 100%.
I just want to point out before we end, Ruthie, your 3-year-old's a rock star. If my 3-year-old was here, she would have come into this room 15 times. So
for the audience's knowledge, we can't confirm for sure that Ruthie is still in the building.
Fair point.
Hopefully we haven't confirmed.
It's notional right now.
Well, the police station is right next door, so we'll be okay.
Before we sing praises, let's just embrace that fact too.
We want to say such a sincere thank you sharing this authentic conversation with us today. We're so appreciative of your being a part of our village as well, and we look forward to hearing more from you and your career well as your family.
Thank you so much. I look forward to listening to more episodes and being a part of your village too, so thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.